Good morning.
All right. Turn to the book of Colossians. We're going to be in chapter 2 this morning, looking at verses 16 through 23. So excited to study this passage together. Happy Thanksgiving. Excited to be in the season of Christmas and Advent, and wonderful job, Ethan and Addie. Thank you for kicking that off for us. Newly married couple. We love you guys. This morning's message, is in Colossians chapter 2. And really in Colossians, what we've been seeing is, I guess you could kind of look at the book of Colossians as it has three like really main sections to it. The first part, of course, is really about Christ and the theology that we believe about who Christ is and who God is and our beliefs, right? And then there's this section in the middle where there is some specific warnings about what seemed like false teaching that was happening at this place, Colossae. And the passage that we looked at a couple weeks ago, the one before this one, Colossians 2 verses like 6 through 15, talks about don't be taken captive by philosophy, human philosophy and lies basically. And so now we're kind of in that section still where there's warnings against this false teaching. The last section of Colossians is really the practical applications of believing the right things, being, you know, careful about the wrong things and living the Christian life. So anyways, this morning, the message is titled, Out of the Shadowlands of Religion. Out of the Shadowlands of Religion. And I want to share with you just like a story for me, but just dealing with religion and kind of, when I say religion, I truly mean forms without substance, you know, tradition without a connection to its meaning and the truth. So I do mean it in a sort of negative way. But when I was a young Christian, probably high school or college, I can't remember exactly. But I remember I was sitting at my breakfast table eating some Eggos. All right. Anybody ever had Eggos? Do they still have Eggos? I know we get the Aldi brand at our house. But I'm eating these waffles that came out of a toaster and I'm enjoying them. And I'm putting my butter on them and the syrup and everything. And I realized I forgot to pray for the food. And I had been kind of working on that as a Christian. I've been kind of trying to remember to pray for the food, but it's hard, you know. So I also was really into this show called NBA Inside Stuff at the time with Ahmad Rashad. And I remember they did a special on this guy in the NBA who was like the best free throw shooter in the entire NBA. His name was Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. All right. So, you know, as a Christian, honestly, the name should have given it away that he wasn't to be my example. But nonetheless, they did this special on him where they talked about how he would shoot free throws, in the gym. And he would, you know, he would not leave the gym until he swished nothing but net, like 100 straight or something crazy like that. And that is how he became like the best free throw shooter in the NBA. So I'm eating my Eggos. I forgot to pray for my food. My mind goes to Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf on NBA Inside Stuff. And I'm thinking, what would he do? So I come up with this idea. I'm not going to, if I ever forget to pray for my food again, I'm throwing my food away. Hey, because you got to start over. You know, only swishes count. And so I'm throwing my food away. So I got up and I threw all my Eggos in the trash. And I came up with this new plan. This is what I'm going to do so that I can be. See, I actually wanted a good thing. I wanted to be a Christian who remembered something that truly was important to me, to thank God for the food. That was a good idea. But I chose a strategy that was probably not a very healthy strategy. Would you agree? Very religious. The hint should have been that it was coming from a guy whose name was Chris Jackson when he played for LSU, but changed his name to Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf when he became a Muslim. But I wasn't very good at picking up on these kinds of hints. And I became syncretistic. I began to sort of mix my biblical worldview with other sort of legalistic worldviews. And you know what? I'm just telling you, I dabbled with legalism that day. And it still affects me 25 years later. I will be eating and I will have this moment where I will think, should I throw my food away? It messes with you when you participate in religion that is dead and that brings death, the Shadowlands. And so this morning we're looking at this idea exactly. You'll see it when we read the passage. The message is out of the Shadowlands of religion, really coming from the last chapter in the Chronicles of Narnia, when Aslan leads them out of Narnia. And it is said, farewell to the Shadowlands. That book titled The Last Battle. And so I didn't just say that because today in this passage, really what we find is Paul, the writer, helping the Colossians and helping us fight our battle with the Shadowlands of religion that resides in our hearts and that we often let our hearts reside in. So let's get into it. Colossians 2, 16 through 23. I'm going to read it and quickly pray. But you'll see that this is what we're talking about as we read it. Verse 16, it says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as though you were still alive in the world, do you submit to its regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teaching. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time we have together in your word. And I guess it's important that we acknowledge, Lord, that this message is not for them. It's not for those other people. It's for us. There's no time like the holidays to be reminded that we live among a people, and we are a people so often entrapped by our culture and by cultural Christianity, by religion. And so, Lord, help us to not live there, not go back there, but to be free and to truly live for you and to understand our faith that has been passed down to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we're going to look at, for our outline, it's like three signs of the Shadowlands of religion. And so these are not good things, right? These are things like, these are like symptoms, like signs and symptoms that you might have cancer. Like these are signs that you're living where really as a biblical Christian you shouldn't be living. That's how we're looking at it. So please don't write these down as like a to-do list. This is like a to-don't list, you know what I mean? But three signs of the Shadowlands of religion. And the first one from verses 16 to 17 is this, that do's and don'ts are more important than Jesus. That do's and don'ts are more important than Jesus. Look at verse 16. It says, therefore, let no one, note that no one is singular there. Let no one, it almost as if Paul knows who he's talking about. He's heard who the person in Colossae is that's leading people away, right? Let no one, don't let Oprah, like that's what Paul's doing. You see what I'm saying? It's like, let no one, I'm just kidding. I just randomly came up. And you're like, but that's a problem, Matt. That is the name that randomly came up. Listen, it could be Trump, all right? I don't care. But let no one, singular, pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. There are do's here and there are don'ts here. The list of do's and don'ts. This is just so straightforward, right? The don'ts are first, actually, in the way the verse comes at us. You see, it's that someone might pass judgment on the Colossians or on us, or we might do it to each other in questions of food and drink. That's referring to, you know, food restrictions, dietary laws, what not to eat. Maybe that is pork. Maybe that is the importance of eating kosher. You know, he's saying, do not let anyone pass judgment on you in regards to the foods that you don't consume. So for them, this in that time may have been the Old Testament and the dietary restrictions found in the book of Leviticus. But we're not much better. We're not that different. We have ways that we judge one another or allow people to judge us, and we then feel shame by the things that we know we shouldn't do or we think we shouldn't do, and then we do and we feel guilt. Food and drink restrictions. I know over Thanksgiving, a lot of us judged people over food. I could not understand the love for pumpkin pie when pecan pie that is pronounced that way is so much better. There are people who still drink coffee out of a Keurig. I mean, you shouldn't let me judge you right now. You shouldn't. Let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink. You know, you see, it's fun, but this is real. Or that's the don'ts, but what about the do's? He says, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath, these are days, these are holidays. These are, instead of the things that you're not supposed to do, the things you're supposed to abstain from, these are the things that you better do. You better do these regularly to really be spiritual. You know, we could make anything into this, couldn't we? For sure, for them, it might have been Passover or different festivals. But we could make anything into this. There is still debates and arguments among Christians about what things we're supposed to be a part of, what events we're supposed to engage in, what events we're not supposed to engage in. What about Halloween? What about Seventh-day Adventists? What about Sabbatarians, people who think we're still supposed to observe the Sabbath every week because of the Ten Commandments? How do you reckon that with what he's saying here? Don't let anyone judge you according to the Sabbath. We could even make really good things into this, couldn't we? We could even make something like communion into this. Even though that's definitely something Jesus wants us to do, but it's not so much about what the thing is, it's what we make it into. Something to judge people with. Something to say, you better do that. You better do it with this amount of frequency. Verse 17, here's the point. These are a shadow of the things to come. But the substance, you could translate the word here, the Greek word soma, as the reality, the substance belongs to Christ. Out of the shadowlands of religion. Who wants the shadow when you can have the real thing? Who would say that they feel full, that they feel great after Thanksgiving? They just sat all day staring at the shadow of the turkey. No. When you can have the real thing, why would you ever want the shadow? Do you want to hug a shadow of your child or of your spouse and say, I love you? No. You want to go from the shadow to the person. And what Paul is saying is that these things are a shadow of the things to come. And everyone understands that the real thing is way more important and way better than the shadow of the real thing. But if that's the case, then why do we often live lives where the shadow of the real thing seems to you and to me more important than the real thing, which is accessible to us? Let me just interview you for a moment. What are your do's and don'ts? We're all different, you know? We've got different things that we have on our list. Have you ever let your list of do's and don'ts become too important? Have you ever let it become more important than your relationship with Christ? Than your walk with Jesus? You say, okay, maybe I have. Let me ask you this. Have you ever let your list of do's and don'ts that you have for someone else become more important than your hope that they would have a relationship that is good, that is fulfilling with the substance, the reality of Christ? We all do this. And so as an application for this first point, let me offer this. We, friends, must desperately pursue a personal relationship with Jesus above our list of do's and don'ts. And we should desire this for others too. Yet, even in doing this, we still obey Christ. And even more so, because of our personal relationship with Jesus, we obey him and we pursue holiness. That's the first point. That's the first sign of the shadowlands, that do's and don'ts have become more important than Jesus. And so hopefully that does not define any of us here this morning, but it has at some point defined all of us, and it will again be a temptation. And so let's beware of that sign of the shadowland. Number two, spiritual disciplines are disconnected from Jesus. Verse 18 through 19, look at this. Let no one disqualify you. You see that? Disqualify. That's literally the word judge. It could be used in athletic games. It's like, let no referee eject you from the game. Let no one give you a red card. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels. Going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. Spiritual disciplines disconnected from Jesus. So look here at this. Like basically we've now gone from the do's and don'ts have become more important to Jesus to now he's talking about all these spiritual disciplines that might be like a pathway to growth, and talking really about how important it is that these remain connected to the head that is Christ. Just as, think of it, just as a decapitated body, I know that's a vivid image, but it's the one in this verse. Just as a decapitated body will stop growing, so also a Christian community or an individual Christian life that is not connected to its head, that is Christ, will also stop growing and will be dead. So again, think of it. He's like, let no one disqualify you. Let no one judge you. Let no one try to put you aside, insisting on their own sort of asceticism or false humility and on worship of angels and going into detail about visions and their pride, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind. Look, it says in verse 19, not holding fast to, in other words, not connected to the head, decapitated, not holding fast to the head. And we know from Colossians 1:18, Christ is the head of the church, from whom the whole body, nourished, knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. John 15 says, abide in me, Jesus speaking, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, you wouldn't think that this would be a challenge. It's one of those things, right, where we say like, hey, I mean, if someone is just wanting to have spiritual disciplines, like just the fact that they want to have those things, isn't that a positive? Don't we count that as like a good thing? And yet, we say no. Not unless it's connected to Christ. Because you can be just as lost in religion as you can in irreligion. And so that is why Paul, when he, in Philippians 3, reflects on all of his accomplishments in the flesh, he concludes, I will have no confidence in the flesh. And he says, that which I thought was my gain, I now count as, accountant terminology, loss. I've moved it on the ledger from the gains to the losses. You say, what's he referring to? He's referring to his religious practices prior to Christ. When it's not connected to Christ, it's leading us away. There's a book in 1978, very popular book among Christians. And actually, it's good. I've read it. I would even recommend it. The Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. He's kind of a contemplative, but it's okay. But the subtitle is The Path to Spiritual Growth. And that caught my interest. Because I feel like that's what Paul's talking about here with the Colossians. He's like, be careful when someone says, hey, I have a path for you to spiritual growth. And in the table of contents, it kind of outlines what the path is. And he says, meditation, prayer, fasting, study, simplicity, solitude, submission, service, confession, worship, guidance, celebration. It's not a bad book. But here's the thing. And I think that in that book, there is an attempt made to connect it all to Christ. But I'm just saying, think of it. All of those things, if they're not connected to Christ, is it really the path to spiritual growth? No, it's not. It's similar. It could be actually similar to what the Colossians were dealing with. A focus on asceticism. A focus on a certain kind of worship. You know, you become so in to asking the angels to protect you from the forces in this world that it almost feels like angel worship. That's what's being said here. And the point really is that spiritual disciplines have become disconnected from Christ altogether. Douglas Moo in his commentary says, Paul is saying, do not let anyone impose upon you a program of spiritual development that does not have Christ at its heart. Here's the application. Application for our second point. Make it top priority to abide in Jesus. And judge every spiritual discipline and spiritual growth strategy and hack by how connected it is to Jesus and how much it brings me into connection with the Jesus of the Bible. Three signs of the Shadowlands that if you feel these or see these, you know you need to get out. You don't want to go back. Do's and don'ts are more important than Jesus. disciplines are disconnected from Jesus. And finally, there is in the Shadowlands a dabbling in denying self. And it's acceptable. Instead of dying to self with Jesus. In the Shadowlands, there are attempts to tame the flesh instead of putting sin to death. Self-denial is dabbled in, and that's seen as, okay, that's good. Instead of dying to self. Do you follow? Here's the thing. Let's look at it. Verse 20. If with Christ, this is so important, with Christ. Look for that in Colossians, with Christ, that we're in union with Christ. So if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as though you were still alive in the world, do you submit to its regulations? In other words, if you are a real Christian and you understand that being a real Christian means that you are in union with Christ, you have died with Christ on the cross, and you are alive with Christ as he has risen from the grave, and your life is not on this earth but in heaven. If that is you, and you know that's you, and you know that's true of you, why are you living differently? That's the question. Why are you acting like you can somehow tame the flesh when the Bible says, put it to death? Verse 21, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Referring to things, verse 22, that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value. Are they of some value? Like, you know, hey, I know like that can sometimes be a little legalistic, and like, I know that like, I don't agree with everything here, but there is some value there. Really? No, that's not what it says. They're of no value. They are of no value. Why? Because it's so harmful in the way it leads us away from Christ and what it truly means to follow Christ. They're of no value, particularly of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Stopping the indulgence of the flesh. The point here, the three signs of the Shadowlands of religion, the point here is that there is an accepted dabbling with self-denial in place of the biblical and Christian practice of dying to self with Christ and living to God through Christ. But we ought to understand that. We've died with Christ. The text says it. We're living a crucified life. Let me show you some verses and just wrap your minds, if you can, a little bit around these verses and take them with you and reflect on these things and apply them to how you're seeking to live the Christian life. Are you seeking to manage your flesh? Areas where you're tempted, are you seeking to tame your sin nature? And of course, it never works. Or are you willing to, as Jesus talks about, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It's better to be one-eyed and enter the kingdom of heaven. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Romans 6:10-12, the death he died, that's Jesus, he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, talking to you, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its evil desires. Romans 8:13, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And so I think this point in these verses, verse 20 to 23, is here to really challenge us as followers of Christ. Maybe even very particularly in some area of our lives or some area of our thought world or our emotional world, and really to challenge us. Are we seeking to tame the flesh through rules of do not touch, do not taste, do not? Are we tucking things away, trying to manage a problem that we cannot? And Jesus came to die on the cross for these sins. In the passage we looked at before this one says, that record is nailed to the cross with Christ. And so we then in our lived experience see how it, applying the law, applying the rules, applying religion to our flesh has no value. It doesn't work. And we understand that we've got to actually live what this life that Christ has given us, which is explained in verse 20. You've died with Christ. Why are you acting like you haven't? So the application is this. Understand what it is to live a truly Christian and crucified life, and live it. Don't just dabble in denying self, but truly understand what it means to die to self. With Christ, be killing sin, or it will be killing me. Live with and for Christ. Let's close in prayer.